remember. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us, your Lord's Day. Lord, we thank you for this time of the year when we are able to pause and to remember sacrifices that have been made, to remember the lives of those that have went on before us, and just to pause and to think about our own legacy as well, to also be thankful and grateful for this land, America, in which we live. She has her flaws, but Lord, we honestly know in our heart of hearts that this is the greatest land that any of us could ever hope to be born into. And Lord, you have blessed us so much down through the year. We pray, Father, that we will preserve that light of freedom and liberty and hope for future generations, not yet born, and for those coming up walking behind us in our footsteps. Go with us now, Father, as we look now into the pages of your word once again inside the book of Joshua. Speak to us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to draw nearer to you. And Lord, also, above all, to choose the right way, your way, and not our own. In Jesus' name, we humbly pray. For your sake and your glory, we pray. Amen. Amen. So, what's happened? As we entered the book of Joshua this morning, we looked in chapter 4 and we saw now they have crossed the river Jordan. They have come into the promised land. This is the land that God had promised Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And it's been many, many, many years, almost 500 years since they have been in that land. When they came out of that land, there was a famine and they went down into Egypt. And the Pharaoh took them in and was able to take care of them, and they were able to produce and to do various things. But over time, they grew and grew and grew into a great nation. They were put into slavery, and then about 400 odd years, and then they came out of slavery under the hand of Moses and also the power of God himself. Because of a lack of faith, they then wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, and finally they made it to their land. But they had a problem. There were a bunch of people that weren't supposed to be there living in their land. And God gave strict commandment as they went into that land to kill them all. But they didn't do that. Joshua, which was kind of uncharacteristic in one of the points, he did not consult God about a peace treaty he made with one of the tribes, one of the nations of the people that had lived there. And even in some of the other places, they did not totally wipe out the people in that neck of the woods. Now, some people might look at that and say, well, why in the world would God be so bloodthirsty, it would seem? You know, why would God say to wipe out all these different groups of different people? But there's reasons why. One of the foremost that I can see from my study of the Bible, we find that there were giants in the land. And anytime you encounter giants, they were supposed to be wiped out because they were of corrupted seed. Half angel, half human. And so we find that one of the things that was to keep the land pure was to wipe out those different types of people of those nationality. But so what had to happen was they had to go on a campaign, the middle area campaign. Then they turned north, and then they would go south. And so for 7 years they fought to basically reclaim their inheritance. Finally, having done that, they then regathered together, and then they divided up the land into parcels, and then they drew lots, and they got the various places where they would live. And as long as Joshua was alive, everything was pretty much okay. But when Joshua died, that's when they got into trouble. And that's when you see the book of Judges opens up, and they're all in a whole mess. And that's where you've got this roller coaster. They get into sin, and then they cry out for a deliverer. God sends a judge. He delivers them. Now they're right with God. And then the judge dies, and then they're back in sin. And it's just up and down all the way through. So before Joshua dies, he calls all the people together, and he basically rehearses a little bit of their history, and he tells them that they need to make sure that they're going to live for God and they're going to do what's right. And if you notice right here, as we get into this, when he starts off right here in verse 15, point number one, notice the apparent conflict. Notice what he says right there. And if it seem evil unto you. Notice that. And if it seem evil unto you. Now, why and how in the world could it seem evil to follow the Lord, to serve the Lord? Stop and think about that. Try and imagine why a group of people that have experienced God's blessing for 40 years would think it evil to serve the God who has blessed their socks off. That doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever. I don't understand that. Why is it sometimes that even we ourselves, who have been the recipient of so much of God's blessing and of God's grace, sometimes go back to sin? Think about that. This is by way of introduction, by the way. We've not got into the message yet. Notice, secondly, notice the adamant conclusion. Joshua didn't ask them if they wanted to. He concluded that they would. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Notice he said, whom you will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, that would be the Jordan, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. So in other words, it's not a matter of if you will serve little g gods, the idols and so forth. It's only a matter of which ones they would serve. And which we and of ourselves will serve. In other words, if you and I are not serving the one true living God, you're serving another God. A little g God, if you will. So that's the adamant conclusion. I mean, you're either going to serve the real God, or you're going to serve a bunch of fake little gods. That's the only conclusion we come to. And then we notice something else. We notice the abundant choices. Notice that it always involves either the little g gods or the one true God. There is a wide variety of gods out there you and I can serve. And Joshua is urging them to make up their mind, to make a decision. Choose you this day. Don't be like a metronome, back and forth, and so forth. Stop putting it off. Stop pretending to be in a state of limbo. Because you're not really. Jesus said you can't serve two masters. You're either going to love the one and hate the other. You can't serve both. So go ahead and pledge your allegiance. Choose you this day. So that's what I want to do this evening. While we're here together, for the time that we have, I want to preach on choose you this day. Number one, now this is not introduction, we're into the meat now. We get to choose whom we serve. So many people complain and they whine about, well, I ain't got a choice in the matter. I ain't got a say in the matter. People look at the Bible and they look at Christianity and think, well, this is nothing but a bunch of rules and regulations, a bunch of do's and don'ts. Well, you know what? You do have a choice. You got a big choice right here, who you are going to serve. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 3 says, thou shalt have no other gods before me. That was valid then. Hey, guess what? It's still valid tonight. 1 Corinthians 10:14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. The Apostle Paul says, you and I as Christians, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to flee idolatry. Hey, if I'm saved, And I can't sin, why does he say for us to flee from idolatry? You know why? Because we as Christians, we as children of the King, we can be ourselves be guilty, and many times are, of idolatry, of serving another God, other than the one who loved us and saved us. Galatians 5 and verse 20 lists some of the works of the flesh. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresy, Colossians 3, verse 5 says, "Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry." Now notice that, covetousness, which is idolatry. You say, well, what is covetousness? Covetousness is looking at my tie and saying, I want your tie. Not saying, I want a tie like yours. Not say, well, where did you get that so I can go buy me one? It's, I want what you have. Covetousness. It's wanting what your neighbor owns. That's what it's all about. Now stop and think about this. Many of us Americans, we are eyeball deep in debt. And many times it is a result of living beyond our means, of course. We know that. But why is it that way? Because, and many times we see right there, inordinate affection. Our affections have been placed upon the things of this world. And too many times we have bought what we have not needed. And then we see evil concupiscence. We find that we buy and we gain, but yet we're not satisfied. And so then we want to go on. We want more. We want this, we want that. And then we begin to covet what our neighbors have. And then the Bible says there that that in and of itself is idolatry. The Bible says that the borrower is servant to the lender. People think that slavery ended with the passage of the 13th Amendment in December of 1865. I'm going to tell you right now today that there's a lot of slavery going on right now. People wonder, you know, why do people have to work so hard, et cetera, and things like that? Well, it's because we're servant to the lenders. The shackles have been placed upon us because of credit cards, because of loans, because of mortgages, because we have lived far, far beyond our means. All across America. I mean, think about our young people. We say, go get an education. They come out of college, they come out of university, and what happens? Far too many of them today are shackled already in debt over their eyeballs just to get a better education. Now, I'm not one of those who advocate for wiping out student debt. If you want to wipe out student debt, there's a way to do it called W-O-R-K, work. How many people back in the past I've read about, they went to school and they worked while they were in school to pay their way through school. But nowadays, we made it so easy for people to sign a piece of paper and say, yes, I want that, then the money's given to them, and there's no wherewithal, there's no way that they can pay that at that moment, and so now they're hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. Even right as they get their diploma and walk into the workforce, they're already eyeball deep in debt. That's not a plan for success. I mean, what's the old saying? You don't borrow money to get out of debt. Because then you just went back into debt. Lord help us. I think a lot of times we would all learn better if we just learned from the Bible rather than trying to learn from the schools of men. But this is the thing in regards to who we're going to serve. You and I have a choice. It is our choice. It's not God making us serve Him. It's not God making us serve this, that, or the third. It's our choice. You and I choose every single day who we're going to serve. Every day. Number two, we get to choose when we serve. We get to choose when we serve. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 tells us, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God." When Paul and company came to Thessalonica, they preached the gospel of Jesus Christ. They immediately turned from their idols and they began to live for God. They began to serve Jesus Christ from that day forward. So, you can choose to start serving Him immediately after we get saved. That's, you know what? That's what we're supposed to do. But too many of us have down through the years been a living reality of that old song, Wasted Years. We got saved when we were 9. We got saved when we were 8. We got saved when we were 5. We got saved when we were 14. We got saved when we were young. And then we hit the teenage year, and then we left church. We started living the way we wanted to live. We started serving ourselves. We began to serve the little God rather than the one true God. Maybe every once in a while, whenever we were in a jam, whenever we were in a pickle, we would think of the one true God. We would say, okay, I'm going to do my part, and I'm going to serve God a little while right now, just so I feel better about myself. Just so I try to, you know, make a bargain with God for right now to get what I want. Maybe I can twist his arm a little bit if I'll go to church for a month or two. Maybe I can bribe God by throwing some money inside the plate whenever it comes by, and then I can entice God to bend him my way so then he'll help me out of this pickle I'm in, and then I'll go back to doing what I want to do. You see, too many times, that's what's happened in many of our lives. We've used God like a genie. We've used God like a lucky rabbit charm. We've used God as a sunshine, fair weather friend, so to speak. We've used him for our own means. Our Christianity is not many times Bible, biblical Christianity. It is a faith of convenience, is what it's been too many times. We want God to bless us. We want God to do this for us. But yet we will not lift the finger and serve him and do as we should. As a servant is unto a master. As a vassal is to a king and to his Lord. We have to remember who it is we are serving and who it is that has saved us. It is God the Almighty who's done this. Amen. Not some tin pot little God we take off of a shelf and rub his belly and hope and pray we'll get what we want. Too many people have done that to God. But it's true. You choose and I choose when we serve him. And too many people, it takes that knock. I mean that hard knock where it comes down like a hammer. And it claps like a thunderclap and knocks us, rocks us back, and throws us down on the ground where we got to look up to see the bottom. And then we look back and we see all the things we've done, wasted. All the money we've thrown down a rat hole, wasted. All the time we've wasted. All the things we've done for self, wasted, 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 wasted. And God, all the while, being patient, 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 waiting, waiting. And to see how long he's waited on some of us, and then to see how short our patience is on some others. Help us, Lord. Now, here's the thing. If you haven't been serving God, here's the good news. You can start now. Amen. You can start right now. I mean, the penitent thief on the cross, he said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He started right there. Sure, he's on his deathbed. Sure, he's about to die. But you know what? Whatever he had left, he's going to give it to God. Amen. I don't care if you got an hour left, if you got 100 years left, give it to God. Otherwise, it's going to be wasted. But see, that's the glorious thing. You not only get to choose who you serve, you also get to choose when you serve. Number 3, we get to choose why we serve. Joshua said, choose you this day whom you will serve. So they got to choose which God they're going to serve. They got to choose when, whether it be with this day, this day and only this day, or every other day, or every day, or no day. They got to choose the when. But we also get to choose the why as well. You know, we serve in one way because of the requirement. In Deuteronomy 10, verse 12, listen to what it says. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways and to love him and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul. That kind of rings a bell, does it not? Jesus taught us that that's how we are supposed to love God. All our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our might, all our strength. Or as I like to put it, in a nutshell, with every fiber of our being. But how do I love the Lord? If you love me, Jesus said, keep my commandments. And did he not also say that his commandments was not grievous? Sure. It's a requirement God asked of us. Look all at everything God has done for you. And then look at the little requirement God says, hey, if I give you this life, if I've done this and I've given you this, all I ask is for you just to follow me. All I ask is for you to serve me. I mean, why wouldn't we serve him? I read stories, I read novels, I read history. I watch documentaries, I watch shows that shows different people who have been blessed beyond measure. People that have been saved out of death-defying measure of situations where they should have died, and yet somehow they are rescued out of that predicament, out of that peril. Of others that have been blessed in so many ways. And then you begin to see the appreciation of those people toward those people that have helped them. The men in war that have went through the crucible of warfare, where a man has saved another man's life. And if he's died, the man who lived many times would go and try to do something somehow to take care of that man's family the rest of his life. As a tribute to the life that was laid down that enabled him to live. Other times where the man lives, there would be a bond between them that could never be broken. That could never sometimes be understood because of what they experienced together. And yet here we are. We've been saved from the horrors of hell by Jesus the Christ, who did not deserve to die on the old rugged cross, who was innocent, and yet he took our sin upon him and took our hell and our punishment, and he died for us spiritually before the Lord, and then he rose again the third day, and God has done all of that for you and I, given us life and more abundantly, blessed our socks off so many times. And then he says, all I ask is for you to serve me. But then, too many times, we wind up serving ourselves. We wind up serving some tin pot little fake god running around out there that don't deserve the time of day, but yet we do. And yet we look at these children of Israel and we wonder and we're just bewildered by them. Why would they leave the one true God and go worship a stick? After seeing the Jordan River, you know, pile up and dry ground. Their parents going through and being fed manna and quail every single day for 40 years. Their clothes not wearing out for 40 years. When they're thirsty, God providing water. The miracles in the desert, all of the things that they saw crossing the Red Sea, all of that. And then to see them go after Molech. Then to see them go after Baal. Then to see them worship the golden calf for crying out loud. And yet we've done it ourselves.
Amen.
We get to choose why we serve him. And one of it is requirement. God says, I want you to do this. What's so hard about that? But hey, there's another reason why. Does not God promise reward? Yeah. I mean, who's not seen the poster? Reward. Fido lost. $100 reward. And then suddenly you start looking a little bit closer for the dog. Wallet lost. $200 reward. Nothing wrong with looking to do something for a reward. How many times do we work harder because the teacher said we get a reward? How many children have read 100 books in such amount of time so they could go to Pizza Hut for the Book It program? How many times did they do something just to earn the reward of a shirt? I did. How many times did I try to hit that hula hoop with the frisbee so I could get the reward of the little ribbon and picture in the paper. You know, the reward of it. Nothing wrong with that. But that's one reason that we can serve the Lord. He promised that we would have gold, silver, and precious stone. Colossians 3:24 says, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, I know about you, but I really, really would love to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. But to hear that, I've got to have done something, and I've got to have served him, and I've got to have been faithful. If I don't do that, then I'm not going to hear him say that. So yes, you get to choose who you serve. You can serve yourself for the rest of your life and have a crappy life. You can serve some stupid little fake god out there, or you can serve the one true living God. You get to choose. I get to choose. We get to choose when we serve. You can serve yourself and have a terrible day and a terrible week and a terrible month, and then wonder why you feel so horrible, why you feel so bad, why everything went to hell in a handbasket. Well, look in the mirror. You chose it. You chose who you was going to serve. I tell you, nobody can't tell me that God ain't real. I've tried. Now, I haven't always done it right, but I've tried to serve the Lord. And I tell you, folks, I'm telling you right now, when I've been in need and I've been in want about certain things in my life, God's always come through. I don't understand why, but he does. I've never went hungry a day in my life. I've got friends that I don't even know, brothers and sisters all around this world, and lives that, unbeknownst to me, I've impacted. You know why? Because I've not lived for myself. And it's very humbling in many ways. Sometimes I don't understand the why. It's like I told Brittany when we first met. I said, I'm not my own. People say, why don't you just go and do what you want to do? I said, I'm not supposed to. Well, that's rather boring, isn't it? Not really. It's the most exciting thing that I have ever encountered in my life. It's kind of like that little funny picture on Facebook. It's got the little boy, and he's on the roller coaster and screaming his head off. And then you got this other adult having a fun high old time. And that one that's having a fun time is labeled the Holy Ghost, and you're over here hanging on for dear life as a believer because he knows the story. He sees the whole picture. You say, I don't know what's going to happen. Ah! The journey can be like that sometimes. You know, you've been there. But I don't have to fear about it because I know he's got my best interests at heart. It might not be what I want at times, but if it's what he wants, I'm going to be all right. And so are you. The reward is worth it. Believe you me. About yesterday, when I looked and saw all these people that were going to be talking, that funeral was 2.5 hours long. I was in there in my suit, and I had that little old program, and I said, Lord, if I ever get like this, that long in the tooth, hit me on the head and shut me up. But I don't begrudge what all the people said. They were paying their tribute to their daddy, to their husband, to their friend, to their brother. So normally inside of a funeral, when I look in things like that, I try, if I know the person decently, fairly, I try to look from the family to get some important things about them. I try to look at the obituary because it talks about where they work, sometimes about their hobbies and different things. And so I try to bring personality out. I try to get a eulogy out there for that person. But in the message, I hammer home that one important point, the gospel. So when I looked at Joe's funeral, I knew I'm not going to have to say a lot about him because his brother did, his sister did, his three daughters did, his wife did, his six friends from the SCV did. I didn't have to say hardly two sentences about the man because you know why? They had it covered. I knew what my job was. My job was to hit both barrels blazing with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. And that's what I did. Amen. Well, when we got done, there was probably 100 people there. And there were about 12 people that came up and talked to me and thanked me for what we did. But guys, when I have things like this told to me, it really humbles me. And I want to hurry away so I can go cry. Man said, where are you pastor at? And I said, I'm at Danieltown Baptist Church. Been there 17 years. He said, where's that at? And I said, it's over in Rutherford County, about 45 minutes from here. He said, oh yeah, Rutherford County. Uh-huh. He said, well, that congregation's got to be a blessed congregation. I said, why so? He said, if you preach and teach like that all the time, he said, you don't get that a lot nowadays. I said, yeah. He said, some preachers probably would have not even bothered about Jesus very much because of the crowd that was there. I said, crowd or not, I said, it's all about Jesus. I said, whether he knew him or not, I said, it's about Jesus. I said, he knew him. I knew his testimony. But that's when we're staring at the casket and we're staring at the grave, that's when we start thinking about my own mortality, my own death coming up. Where am I going to go when I die? And I'm glad if they meant it, 16 people said they come to know Jesus. Amen. Folks, I'm telling you. The reward's going to be something. But the requirement, I want to serve him because of what he's done for me. Reward or not, just being part of his family, that's reward enough. But fourth and final, we get to choose how we serve. Now, I know myself, being in the ministry, that I kind of got a path in front of me I need to choose to stay on. But even on that path, I still get to choose my how in many ways. There's no standard 3 points in an outline. There's no standard about, well, you only preach so long. I know that we can only stand so long before we click out. I understand that. But I tell you, folks, it's hard sometimes. You dig and you study sometimes for 4 hours, 8 hours, 3 hours, even 30 minutes trying to put together a sermon, and you get so much in this information stuff there inside there, and you just can't wait to just throw it all out that you can. I mean, ain't that what you like to do when you go eat? You go over there and whenever somebody puts a little bitty tablespoon, I mean, you get offended. Somebody get a little bitty tablespoon out. Yep, that's all you get. And you're saying that's not even a mouthful. I mean, we're talking Baptist portion, not Presbyterian portion here. Come on now. I mean, you got to get the ladle out, not the little bitty teaspoon out. And I'm not on a Weight Watcher program. Yes, I diet. Watch what you eat. Yes, I do. I watch every bite as it goes in my mouth. But anyway, you know, you should be, I mean, you probably wouldn't be offended if somebody, you went inside the buffet line and the server's there and they put a little bitty loop on there. You say, I paid $10 to eat. I'm not going to eat just that. You want them to load it down. Put a plop on there. Get another dollop on there. I mean, pile them taters on there. Don't skimp on that gravy. Pour that stuff on there, man. Biscuit, put two on there. I'll come back if I need a third. Come on now. I'm the same way when it comes to the Word. When I serve it out, I want you to get your serving here. I mean, bless his soul. Joe and Vivian drive 1 hour one way to come to this church. I don't want to give them a little dinky 15 minutes. I want to load their wagon down. Now, you sitting here saying, crap, man, I got, I just live down the road. I know I do too. I can walk and be like two seconds, I'm at home. But yeah, We're here. We're on God's time. No, I don't want to bore you to death. No, I don't want to be a dead horse. Beat a dead horse. I don't want to be a dead horse anyway. I don't want you to zone out and say, man, he's too long-winded. When are you going to shut up? I want you to get some stuff that you need, guys. Our music, our singing is wonderful. I love it. We praise God because, hey, you know what? That's one way you can serve him. You get to pick the how you serve, right? Well, Psalm 100, verse 2, right there it is. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Don't you sit there and say, well, I can't serve the Lord. I don't know how. Yes, you can. Open your yap and sing. That's one way you can do it. You say, well, I don't know about that. It might drive people away. If they don't run away when I sing, you'll be all right from singing. Trust me. You'll be fine. And hey, what about this? You get out somewhere, sing. Amazing Grace. You think people are going to pick up rocks and stone you for singing Amazing Grace? There's a bunch of lost people out there that know the words to Amazing Grace, believe it or not. And if you were just to, cut loose and start humming Amazing Grace or singing Amazing Grace, I bet money that you would find out there'd be a lot of people around you that suddenly join in. Have you not ever seen them musicians? They're out there and they're just sitting out in the park or whatnot. They're sitting out there on a lunch break and somebody breaks out a harmonica. They might break out a guitar or whatever. Who knows, a banjo or mandolin or fiddle or whatever. And suddenly somebody starts playing. It's wonderful. Why don't we do that with our hymns to the Lord? I'll never forget when I was in high school. These people, Lord help them. And they spent all that money on them speakers, the bass subwoofers and all that. Personally, I thought they had more money than they had sense. But yeah, that's just me, though. And they'd be blaring out their stupid rap music, and they'd all do all this stuff. And, I was into my country music some back then. I was into my Christian contemporary music, but I was also into my 1860s music. And my little old speakers and my Chevrolet S10 1992 pickup truck weren't nothing to, hold a candle to. And so I decided one day as I was rolling out in my junior year, I popped Bobby Horton inside my tape player and old Dixie came on. I cranked them things up as loud as I could and I just let Dixie just blare out through the parking lot as I slowly rolled out. Then another day, I put Amazing Grace on there. Another day, I put on Victory in Jesus on there. I wasn't ashamed of it. You know what? I still ain't. But yes, you can serve God with singing. Don't be bashful about you singing. When you get ill, try singing. You can't be ill when you sing. Try it sometime. When you're sad, try singing. It's awfully hard to be sad when you're singing the praises of God. Psalm 2:11, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. That don't mean be scared. It means to respect God. That's all it means. Serve him with respect and rejoice with trembling. Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Fervent in spirit. It means to have some zeal about yourself. It means to have some passion about what you're doing. When you get into something you like and you enjoy, you get passionate about it, or at least I do. I love doing many, many of my hobbies because it's my hobby. It's what I have fun with. Brittany looks at me and she says, man, this is the most boring thing in the world. I said, no, the boring thing is watching men hit a golf ball that when it flies, you can't see it because it's white, and I can't see where it goes. Or it's like sometimes, people, bless their heart, you get there and the pitcher's on the mound and he's looking around, and then the wind up and the pitch, People think that's boring. They're saying, when's he going to throw the ball? I think he's going to get there. He's watching the bases. He's looking at the catcher trying to read these weird sign language they've got going on, He's trying to figure out the right play. Is he going to do a slider? Is he going to do a curveball? Is he going to do, they don't do spitballs, but anyway. He's trying to figure out, read his opposition. And it takes time to do that. I said, when I watched basketball, I got rubberneck. I couldn't keep up with it too fast. And football, I kind of yawned on that, except when they got in a good scrimmage. But I don't know. It's to each his own. I mean, people get passionate about these things. I want to go to an Owls ball game one night. I think it'll be fun. And yeah, I'll get in it, woo, you know, especially when the Cardinals are playing. You know, I put my hat on, you know, inside out when we're behind. You know, the Cubs are beating us black and blue. Amen. So, you know, if we can do all that and we can hoop and holler and, you know, get excited and get fun, and then we come in here, Amazing Grace. Well, I mean, we're singing a funeral dirge. Come on. I mean, think about what you're saying. Grace is amazing because, hey, it saved you from hell. Amen. Wow. I mean, Jack Pennington, I love what he used to say. I don't want to make a Baptist shout. And, buddy, I like what Rex used to say. It's the quietest world we're going to live in. We might as well get tuned to shout on the banks of glory. Yeah. Be fervent about what you're doing. Get some fervent spirit about you. Let's not, I know it's cold in here sometimes, but you ain't got to be cold like molasses in winter. come on now, we can get the fervency of the Spirit going on. Acts 20, verse 19, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. I'm a pastor, sure, but that don't make me the big head. I'm just a sinner saved by grace, guys. I don't know why at times He chose me and called me to do what I'm doing, but after I finally waved the white flag and I said, I give up, I surrender, I think you're crazy, but I was really... I enjoy the journey now. It ain't easy. It's a headache. It's a heartache at times. But I love that God chose me to do it. And I'm just going to keep on keeping on. Amen. So there it is, guys. God's called you to do something in your life. So you get to choose how you're going to serve Him. You get to choose why you serve Him. You get to choose when you serve Him. And you get to choose if you serve Him or not. It's your choice. So choose you this day. It'll either be a little g God or it'll be the real, living, true God. But you're going to serve someone. Make the right choice. David, if you'll come. I tell you, folks, it's interesting when you stop and you look inside this precious Bible. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of preachers have taken the same text out of this precious book and they preach hundreds of millions of sermons. And yet it's still as fresh as it was when it was penned down under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I tell you, sometimes when I pull up on... I pull up on YouTube and I'm sitting there and I'm getting to where I want to hear a good sermon. I tell you what I do sometimes. I'll go down to 1954 and I'll punch up Billy Graham. Oh my goodness. A young Billy, what a blessing. I'll punch in old Billy Sunday back in the 20s. Woo, you want to hear old sawdust, hellfire, brimstone message? Boy, howdy. Let's not forget Billy Kelly, the old evangelist, huh? How about old Oliver B. Green? How about many of the old saints of God? Folks, it's something else. Get those old preachers, those men of God on there, get it stirred up. Boy, what a blessing. To think that you and I, of all people, get to serve God. Now, before we close out, I want you to stop and think about something. If you look back and you think about in your old past, maybe you got a history of something back in your life. You look back and you see how dedicated you used to be to that old bottle. Religiously, every weekend, every time you got paid, it was a trip to the store or several. Got your six packs of your favorite beer, or maybe you got 24-pack, 12-pack, whatever it might have been. And you went to town on that stuff. I mean, you drunk and drunk and drunk as much as you could and then some. And people begged you. Maybe your wife, maybe your mama, maybe your daddy, maybe your girlfriend, maybe your preacher friend, maybe your brothers out there. They begged you, get off that stuff, leave that stuff alone. You told them to leave you alone. You're going to do what you wanted to do. And you had you a high old time. I mean, nobody could dissuade you. You were dedicated. You were loyal. The man at the store could count on you like clockwork. When that time come and that day came, you'd be in that door, right in them coolers, getting your stuff. And you became known for that. And then one day, you met a man named Jesus. And it might not have been overnight, but sooner or later, that stuff didn't taste as good like it used to. Soon, you realized what a fool you were and all the money that you wasted and all the time that you wasted. And now you were a child of God. And now it was time to live for the King. Look and see how dedicated you were to that, little God. Are you as dedicated to the one true God as you were back then? To that? Maybe it was drugs. It didn't matter what it was, how it was. You'd move heaven and earth. You'd move it to get to what you wanted. Do you want God that much? Do you want God that bad? Folks, look and see your fervency. Look and see about your level of dedication. Don't let serving God be just something you slip on Sunday. Let's make it our life. Because whether we realize it or not, Jesus is our life. I didn't start living truly till I came to know Jesus as my Savior. And now of all that He's done for me, He's calling you and me, choose you today who we're going to serve. If I choose Him, I need to live it every moment I can for Him. And if I look back and God looks back on your path and He says, hey, you are so dedicated to this. You didn't miss a shipment. You didn't miss a day. You didn't miss anything. Skip a beat on that. He says, why aren't you doing me like that? Let God speak to you tonight. Look back in your life. Look at your life even today and see. Have you chose Jesus today, or have you just been through the motion today? Have you really chosen today, or are you just making the right noises to make sure that you feel okay with what you've done? So Preacher Craig won't get on your back. Let me tell you something. I ain't going to get on your back. That'll be God doing that. Because you know what? I got my own self to keep in line. I got to help keep her in line. She's my wife. But by and large, that's God's work too. Because I can't make her do it. I can tell her. I can say, woman, obey me. I can lead by example. But we're a team. And you know what? All of us here, we're a team too. It ain't my church. Our church is God's church. Let's work together for Him. But we got to choose. We're going to serve Him today. All right. As David plays, as you think in your life and your heart, as we bow our heads and as we think, I know right now God's already talking to you. He's telling you, you know, you didn't really choose me today. You just roll through the motions. If God's talking to you about that, then it's time to choose today. Because this day ain't done yet. God ain't done with you yet. There's still hours left in this old day. And you might wonder, well, what can God do with me right now? There's a lot God can do with you right now if you'll let Him, if you'll choose Him.